plate a potential nugget.
Fast forwarding, Harsh, you set up Marico as a separate entity within the Mariwala business construct in Jan 1990, when
yes.
I read the book. But very early on, in the first two to four years, I think you moved towards a separation. And, you know, I do some work with some of the members of YPO and have some visibility to the dynamics of a family business.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always this tension between belonging and breaking out.
True.
How did you think about that, and what were the pulls and pressures?
See, when Marico was formed in the year 1990, it took me 2 to 3 years to convince the family to separate management from ownership. So what it meant was that I would be the manager in Marico, and I'll be the only family person handling Marico. And similarly, my cousins would handle each part of the business or in a separate company. I think that gave us a lot of autonomy, and that really freed me up in terms of doing things which I always wanted to do. I never thought that within a few years it will lead to a business separation in terms of financially. It so happened that there were some issues which led to a lack of trust amongst the family, and I think that forced us to separate. So it was not something which was planned. It happened because of certain circumstances, which was, I never thought it would happen. But when that happened, I thought it better to separate, because if there is no trust, then you can't exist as partners. So that event, those set of events which happened after Marico was formed, immediately after it was formed in the first 2-3 years, led to this situation where we also separated financially.
Mm. And in the book, there's a mention by Uday Kotak, who says that I must give credit to Harsh for his maturity. The Mariwala separation went better than a lot of family business experiences I have witnessed. Back to your earlier point about tolerance and consensus and everything
said,
Harsh.
Yes.
Give us a sense of whatever is shareable. How do you, if you rewind and think about those days, what did it take for you to ensure you got to a meaningful place?
So, as you rightly put it, I didn't want to pick up a fight. And we've seen many families, their businesses getting destroyed because they go on fighting. So, I was very clear that we needed to have a consensus.
Hmm.
Of course, while arriving at a consensus, there could be some bad blood. I'm not saying, but we would continue to negotiate and arrive at a solution, which is a win-win solution. So I was very, and if it meant that it would take a little longer time, let it be. So the process was to appoint a mediator who was trusted. The key thing, trusted by each and every family member. Because many a times if I appoint a mediator, it is perceived as my mediator, others will not trust, and that whole negotiation will fall apart. But if we have a mediator who is trusted by each and every family member, being neutral, being fair, then that is a big, big asset in any negotiation. And we appointed Mr. Bipin Shah, who was earlier in Lipton's as a director, and also on Hindustan Lever as a director, Lipton chairman. He helped us in.
And he was your pick, and the others built trust. I mean, it always.
It was. He was known to the whole family from much before.
Understood.
He was known to my father, my uncle, so he was in that age group.
Understand.
But the negotiations were done by me and my cousins, and none of the elders were involved in negotiations.
Hmm.
But he was there as trusted, because he was in that age group which of my father and my uncles, and he played an important role in driving consensus. It had to be a little bit of a give and take in terms of what we want to do. So I think that played a very, very important role, and we had to do it in a structured manner, go one by one rather than just, if they're afraid tempered, then he would again play an important role. So nobody should be allowed to go back. Because many a times, you know, what happens is you discuss something, you finalize something in a family meeting today, and after this 1 month, they will say, no, this is not agreeable.
Mm.
So he played that role, you know, he had that, he was there in the meeting, he was fully aware of what was happening, and if something went off track, he would intervene, but otherwise, it would be, negotiation would be handled by us, he would guide us, but he would not take sides.
If you had to be immodest about yourself, Harsh, see, one is, of course, the mediator. I'm sure a lot of families appoint mediators. But what was hard for you, you know, as you reflect on those days? What were some of the impulses that you had to resist? Just walk us through what some people often get wrong that you had to.
So, it's painful. Any family financial separation is painful. It's because, you know, there is some degree of bad blood at that particular point of time. So, you have a relationship which is very good at a social level, but, you know, that phase you, because its financials are involved, there tends to be some degree of bad blood.
Hmm.
And then there is your degree of uncertainty. What will happen? Will it conclude properly? Will it not conclude? So, impact of that on business is another thing. So, that could lead to high degree of stress. Number three is you are managing a business as well as you are doing these negotiations, which are time-consuming. So, there is that degree of stress. So, I would say a combination of uncertainty, stress, and temporary bad relationships is something you need to go through, and there is no other alternative. I think one has to go through, but looking back, I mean, those 2-3 years were painful, were stressful, were taxing, but I think it has paved the way of the relationships are back to, almost back to normal in terms of socially and things like that. And it's just, it came into a win-win kind of situation where.
And if I may pick up on the, what does it take to bring the relationships back on track? Very often in that phase, often there's a little bit of a.
Yes, I think somebody has to take an initiative in terms of within the family. And normally initiatives start around some events, either sad events or happy events, like a marriage or somebody, you lost somebody in the family, and that is the time when the family tends to unite.
Mm.
Because these are very important events, either very sad events like a demise or a happy event like a marriage. And that is the time when, you know, you start thinking, okay, now we have to start feeling united. And it, over a period of time, I think it goes on, at least in our case, it improved. In some cases, some families, but I think it takes two to clap. So, both parties have to forget the past, let it be bygones, rather than holding on to some event which was a cause of stress at certain point of time. And look at future, and you may not be the best of friends, but the relationship is almost back on track.
Harsh speaks about family occasions being an opportunity in reviving relationships. What he says here reminds me of the insight from Professor Katie Milkman of Wharton. She's recently written the book, How to Change, The Science of Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And she was also voted as one of the Thinkers 50 listers. She speaks about how we all can look for fresh starts in our lives. Just like we think about New Year's resolution and use that as an opportunity to change behavior, she says that if we look around, we might find several fresh starts around us.
What we found is that there are moments, this won't surprise you at all, that feel more like fresh starts to people. And the one that we're all familiar with already is New Year's, right? This is a moment when around the world, people are setting resolutions at a higher rate than usual, trying to pursue goals at a higher rate than usual. And it feels like a fresh start. The psychology of New Year's turns out to be familiar and extend to many other moments. But the psychology of New Year's is you can say sort of, well, that was the old me last year. The old me couldn't achieve this, you know, right? The old me tried to quit smoking and failed, but that was a whole different person. The new me in the new year can do it. And you feel this dissociation from your past failures and this renewed optimism as you open a new chapter in life. What we found is that New Year's is actually just one moment that has that new chapter, fresh start feeling. There are lots of other moments on the calendar and in life when we also feel we're turning a page and can get that same dissociation from past failures and motivation, and also the likelihood that we might actually step back and think big picture about our lives is greater. So some of those moments include, according to our research, the start of a new week or a new month, the celebration of holidays that feel like fresh starts in our culture, the celebration of birthdays.
If this topic is of interest, do tune into my conversation with Professor Katie Milkman of Wharton.